The Sportscast, March 19th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts, and also on Twitch. Please hit the follow and the subscribe. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or download our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. March Madness 2021 is here. People are still filling out the brackets. The game, the next game will be in a few minutes, so you got to fill out your brackets by then. You still have time. It took me about 5 to 10 minutes, so it shouldn't be that bad. Anyways, we got a special guest today that I found on Twitter, which we found probably half our guests on Twitter, but they're pretty good guests. Nicholas Hodel. His Twitter handle is Hodel Sports. He's from Arizona. I like Arizona. I've never been there, but I hear good things about it. Nicholas, welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you so much. It's a thrill to be with you today as we get to talk some more of college basketball, which is something I absolutely love to do. So I'm thrilled to be here.
Nick, I saw your Periscope. You were live streaming the draw and the selection for March Madness. You were pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, that particular selection show last Sunday was the first one we've had in 2 years. I mean, it's super exciting to be in that moment to finally have that opportunity to, get to see the main NCAA tournament bracket, which I am like bracket crazy this time of the year anyway with the conference tournaments. And so the fact that last year we didn't have the NCAA tournament, that really was a heartbreaker for me. So to be in this situation where we are going to have NCAA tournament games, it is amazing to be here.
That's right. Last year there was no March Madness. The pandemic, COVID-19, hit it hard right in the midst of March. Well, right before it began this year, it is. Nicholas, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a sophomore at the Cronkite School at Arizona State University, a place where I have, you know, so many fantastic opportunities to really grow myself as a journalist and really just as a college basketball analyst, for that matter. It's my show, The College Basketball Bonanza. For those listening, you can follow us on Twitter, @CollegeBonanza. I would really appreciate that. It's a show that I've done now for 6 years now. Did that for 4 years at my high school radio station in Jasper, Indiana, and now for 2 years as a member of the Cronkite School. It's a show that I don't just treat as a radio program, but more as a brand. It's something that is really a part of who I am. And I really pour everything I have into making sure that program is the best it could be, whether it's formatting or, you know, using Twitter to have some more content on there. It's something that is just part of who I am and part of how I express my passion for college basketball.
And also from the state of Indiana, my college roommate was from Indiana, and he tells me that basketball is king in Indiana, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, high school gyms are just unbelievable. Even my high school gym, it's a full lower bowl, and then you get a nice upper bowl for about 3/4 of the way through a circle. And even though it doesn't fill up most times, it's still amazing to see that kind of gym, which, as far as size go, can rival a ton of D1 gyms. So it is unbelievable what even just high school basketball means to the state of Indiana. Forget, you know, Indiana basketball or Purdue basketball. There's just the sport in general means so much to Indiana. And I think that's part of why I love college basketball so much is my Indiana heritage. It really does go through me a lot.
Definitely true. Indiana, breathes college basketball or basketball in general because Larry Bird came from Indiana, a great state. Okay, let's look at this year's March Madness. Gonzaga. Everyone's picking Gonzaga for some reason. Tell us, what do you think about Gonzaga, and do you think they'll win this tournament?
I think that Gonzaga has the ability to win this tournament. As it goes deeper along, the one worry I have is that the pressure of the perfect season can kind of really get under them, really. I think that this Gonzaga team is incredible. Corey Kispert and Jalen Suggs are the two players that really come to my mind. Players that take over a game. And it's not just those two. It's about two other guys that this team has that you really have to focus in on, or else they will come in and burn you as well. It is one of the most talented teams I've seen in quite some time. And I think that they have at least a favorable draw to get to the Elite Eight at the very minimum. I think that this part of the bracket for Gonzaga, you know, go through Norfolk State, you get through other Oklahoma or Missouri, and then whatever happens with the Creighton, UC, Santa Barbara, and Virginia, Ohio little quadrant there, that section to me is so fascinating. And I think that whoever Gonzaga goes up against, I think that they'll have gone through so much that Gonzaga, I think, will play pretty well against them. And so you get to the other part of the West region, which is teams like Iowa and Kansas. I honestly think that USC has a great shot to get to the Elite Eight as well. And quite frankly, for me, USC with Evan Mobley and Isaiah Mobley, I think that is a really good team to watch out for. And Iowa is a two seed in this region for me. I do not trust their defense to get to the Elite Eight. I'm just not necessarily feeling that. And I think that Gonzaga anyway will be able to go through whoever it is, whether it be Iowa, Kansas, a team like USC, or maybe another Cinderella that comes through there. And then you just get to the Final Four. And for me, their non-conference games earlier in their season proved so much that this team is everything that you could possibly want out of a top team in the country. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, Gonzaga's not really playing the West Coast Conference. Oh, I should pick a number one overall seed. I encourage you throughout this tournament, even though a lot of brackets have already locked in, to go watch YouTube highlights of Gonzaga's non-conference games, because they played out of their mind early in this season and they really stuck it through throughout. It's just one of the most impressive teams I've seen in quite some time.
Nicholas is definitely putting in a stamp of approval of Gonzaga. If you're picking as a winner, Nicholas approves. There is a case behind it. Now, in the West, Nicholas, which team can challenge Gonzaga? You mentioned Iowa, USC, possibly Oregon. Any of these teams can come close and maybe shock Gonzaga a tiny bit.
Yeah, I think Iowa with guys like Luka Garza, I think could definitely give them a challenge. Like I said earlier, their defense just really worries me for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kansas is a team that has had its up and downs throughout this season. I still think that Gonzaga is a little bit superior to them. And I mentioned USC earlier. I just think that this USC team is a really good team. This was one of the teams that out of that Pac-12 where you had teams like USC, UCLA, Oregon, Colorado, it seemed like no one would step up. And for a while, it looked like USC would be that team until they stumbled a little bit down the stretch. I really love what USC has to offer. They're about the one team in the Pac-12 that I think can really go on a major run. I just really like what the Trojans have to offer with. And I mentioned Evan Mobley earlier. He is a really, really good player. I will be very fascinated to see how he matches up with Luka Garza should it be an Iowa-USC Sweet 16. And I think that if they could really get through Iowa's defense, I think they have what it takes to beat Kansas, and I think they have what it takes to take out Iowa as well.
Something to definitely look at. Pac-12 is roaming strong in this bracket. East, we got a lot of Alabama fans. Nicholas, what are your thoughts about this Alabama team? Can they go deep? Some say there's just a Elite Eight ceiling. What are your thoughts over the Roll Tide?
I think they can get to the Final Four. I think that it seems to me like Michigan is like the one number one seed in this year's bracket that a lot of people are not taking to the Final Four. And it's normally been teams like an Alabama or a Texas that they are picking. The one thing about Alabama that I think people need to really be cautious of is the fact that they are a three-point shooting team. When they shoot the three extremely well, they are incredible at offensive production. When they are off on three-point shots, they are vulnerable. And I think that a team like Texas can definitely take advantage of that. But also UConn. If Alabama is going to be a team that goes out early, it's going to be against a team like UConn with James Bowknight. So I really think that Alabama and the SEC has proven a lot of the amount of talent they have. It's just, can teams catch them off on a bad three-point night? If teams can do that, I think Alabama could be in some trouble. But I have in my Final Four for a reason. They are a team that has proven that they are exceptional to me. And as a number two seed, I think they are actually the most likely of the twos to get to the Final Four.
That has been talked about by a lot of the sports pundits. You said Michigan, not a strong number one. I've been seeing teams, I mean, people picking FSU to knock them out. Do you see this FSU team doing that?
I think Florida State's in a very interesting spot when it comes to the bracket, because I think Colorado with McKinley Wright could give Florida State a hard time, to be quite frank. I still think Florida State's the best team in the ACC, but I really think that 4-5 is quite a toss-up. And in the case of Michigan, I want to make something clear in that these number one seeds this season have separated themselves from the rest of the country for a reason. They are the four best teams in the country. I think that Michigan, when it comes to it, I think that Alabama and Texas is going to give them a real big run for their money as far as being able to play against them, especially a team like Texas, what they did in the Big 12 tournament. I think you definitely have to take that into consideration. I do see Michigan going on to the Elite Eight at the very minimum, whether it's against Florida State or Colorado. And then we'll have to see what happens with there, with either Alabama or Texas, or who knows, maybe UConn can pull off some upsets of teams like Alabama or Texas and get to the Elite Eight themselves and be that real big underdog story that everyone's rooting for.
And UConn has a strong basketball history to do that. So the East looks like it could be open, but Nicholas has Alabama going to the Final Four. So you guys out there that are Bama fans, Nicholas has a good intake, and that could very well happen. South, Baylor University is the favorites in this bracket. Tell us, Nick, tell us a breakdown of this side of the bracket.
Well, Baylor is a number one seed. They have not been the same team compared to pre-pause compared to post-pause. They definitely struggled a little bit more after their COVID pause and some of their games against the Big 12, which is, for my take, a never-ending gauntlet. I still think Baylor is in a very good position, though, to get to the Final Four out of the South region. When it comes to getting past the second round into the Sweet 16, I do have Purdue. I think that Winthrop is going to be a team that most people are picking to upset Villanova, and for very good reason, as Villanova is a little bit shorthanded without Colin Gillespie. I think that they should be able to get through Purdue quite well, even though Purdue has been an exceptional team to really watch with some of their young players like Zach Edey. And then you get to the Elite Eight in the bottom half of the region, where a lot of things can happen, quite frankly. I have Ohio State getting there, but really, when you look at a potential 3-6 between Arkansas and Texas Tech, I think that Texas Tech has done an incredible job of roster building under Chris Beard. For my money, he is probably one of the best roster builders in the entire country. When you get those transfers like Mac McClung and Marco Santos-Silva, he seems every year to be able to recruit decently well and also get those impact transfers that can really make a difference. As a sixth seed, I think that Texas Tech can really make a lot of noise and potentially get past Arkansas. And I think that's going to end up happening, but I think Ohio State is just a little bit too strong compared to Texas Tech. If Arkansas were to advance to the Sweet 16, I think that would be a really intriguing 2-3 matchup. I think Ohio State is just a little bit better. And then really, I could see Ohio State getting past Baylor, but once again, I absolutely think that Baylor, they're a number one seed for a reason. They have been considered one of the two best teams for most of the season for a reason. You get players like Jared Butler. I absolutely think that he will take over that game and ensure that Baylor gets on to the Final Four.
The South seems like a little bit unpredictable in a way. That's what it sounds like. Things could shake a little bit different from the other brackets. The other bracket seems a little bit more, not concrete, but do you think that Texas Tech can be more of a Cinderella team than Winthrop, or vice versa?
It's interesting because I think that when it comes to Winthrop, I think they drew the perfect five in Villanova to be able to get that done. And when I was watching a bunch of Winthrop footage, it really just seems like players like Chandra Fodren are like the perfect type of player you want, especially when Villanova is going to be shorthanded at that point guard spot. Against Purdue, I think it will be a different story for them. I just think that what Purdue's been able to do with some of their young players has been fantastic, and I think they'll be able to advance their way on past Winthrop. Texas Tech, they got to get past Utah State, which Utah State is a really good team down the Mountain West. So that 6-11 could be a very interesting one. And Arkansas, they still got to get past Colgate first round, which Colgate's a very interesting case. They are a really good offensive team. But the big thing for me when picking this 3-14 and favoring Arkansas is that Colgate only played Patriot League opposition. And in a way, the computers, at least in the net, have really been kind of fooled without taking preseason expectations into account and the fact that they've only played Patriot League teams. And that a few of them, Army and Navy, did play decently well in non-conference. Kind of fooled the computers a little bit in net, and it gave Colgate a big advantage, especially when they are running up scores and doing it for the net. And so, to me, that could potentially be a very interesting one. How can they fare against non-conference opposition for the first time? It's just, for me, it's too small of a sample size to really go with Colgate in that particular situation. And really get back with Texas Tech. I mean, I have them in the Sweet 16 getting past Arkansas. I really think that roster they have is extremely talented. You get Mac McClung going, and when you get Marco Santosola going in the interior as well, those are two impact performers that can really make a big difference. And I think, and there's so many good six. We talked about USC earlier. I'm sure we'll talk about San Diego State in a little bit. But Texas Tech is right up there, which I mean, this is probably one of the better six lines that we've had in quite some time.
Nicholas, that's why I have you here on the Sportscast. You're very analytical. You know everything to the T. Let's go into the Midwest bracket. Illinois, another great team. A lot of people are picking them to go to the national championship game. But a lot going on because you brought up San Diego State. Nick, give us a breakdown on the Midwest.
Yeah, and I'll start with Illinois with the duo of Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn. Oh, my God. It is so incredible to watch this Illinois team throughout the year. And my co-host on the College Basketball Network, Dominic Stern, he loves the Illinois Fighting Illini with the Dosunmu and Coburn duo. Absolutely loves them. And I do, too. I think when there was a certain point to this year to where Gonzaga, Baylor, and Michigan had almost punched their spot as a number one seed, and that fourth slot was kind of wide open. And Illinois went out and took it. And by the time the Big Ten tournament came around, it really wasn't all that close for the number one seed. And Illinois definitely deserved to really earn that particular position. And then really their second round matchup against Loyola Chicago, should they get back a Georgia Tech team without Moses Wright, the ACC player of the year, could be very interesting because the computers love Loyola Chicago. KenPom, Nat, they all seem to really love this Loyola Chicago team. And as an 8 seed, which many people in the bracketology side of things were not surprised by, given the fact that they are the Missouri Valley Conference where you do not have a lot of room for error in order to move yourself up the seed lines. That is going to be a fantastic matchup. I still have Illinois getting past that, but I would not be shocked if we're in a position to where Loyola Chicago is giving Illinois a fantastic game. A little bit further down the bracket, I think that Tennessee-Oregon State could potentially be interesting, but I just don't see it for Oregon State. I think Tennessee, when they're on their A game, can be one of the better teams in the entire country. And Oklahoma State-Liberty, I mean, give me Cade Cunningham and that entire Oklahoma State roster all day long. I think that with Cade Cunningham being out for a particular period of time, it really forced the rest of the Oklahoma State roster to be extremely exceptional, and they were. And once Cunningham came back, it made everything so much better because the other players knew what they were doing, and just adding in a potential number one overall pick in the NBA draft in Cade Cunningham was incredible. I think Tennessee still could get by Oklahoma State, though. Tennessee as a 5 could really make a lot of noise and also challenge a team like Illinois, but I still have Illinois getting to the Elite Eight. The bottom half of the bracket to me is very fascinating with a team like San Diego State as a 6 seed and also Morehead State as a 4 team. I think Morehead State is that team that not a lot of people are giving any sort of credit at all as being a potential Cinderella. They're the 1-14 seed I have picked because then the OVC, they've won 19 the last 20 games, which is no easy feat. In the OVC title game against Belmont, they pretty much wiped the floor against a Belmont team that I honestly would not have been shocked if they were a 13 seed or even a 12 if they were to get up there. This Morehead State team definitely has what it takes to be the 14 to get past a 3 seed, in this case West Virginia, which is going to be a very tall order, but I think Morehead State has the ability. They're hot. They are a very solid team, in my opinion, at least, for a 14. I think that they could be the one to potentially do it, which is part of the reason why I have San Diego State in 16, but also in the Elite Eight. I think Houston as a 2, no matter if it's San Diego State or West Virginia, is in big, big trouble. But I do think they'll get to at least a Sweet 16. a 7-10 matchup here in Clemson Rutgers. It's really hard for me because Rutgers has shown that it can be a really good team. I think that they are one of the worst Power Conference free throw shooting teams I've seen in a long time, and I cannot trust that in an NCAA tournament game. When you're a bad free throw shooting team, chances are it's going to cost you a game in the NCAA tournament. And that was probably the lone reason why I had Clemson. If it wasn't for the free throws, I think Rutgers isn't a 10. I think they're much better than a 10 seed. But for that reason, I had to go with Clemson over Rutgers there.
Nicholas, you are freaking amazing. And if you want to touch up on Houston, Cleveland State. No, Cleveland State is going to win. Houston. No, Houston's going to win. We have a lot of Liberty fans that watches the show. Nick, tell us, can they beat Oklahoma State or no shot?
I think that Liberty kind of came up against the wrong four here, quite frankly. Oklahoma State is one of the better fours in this field. And I just think that it's unfortunate for Liberty because they have been one of the better teams in the A-Sun in quite some time, really. And I remember back at the start of the year saying that, you know, the season, the year that Linscomb kind of had last year, they kind of fell off the map a little bit. I honestly thought that Liberty was going to have a very similar season, but I was way wrong in that initial projection in that this Liberty team is pretty darn good. They can shoot pretty well from the free throw line, 77% from the line this year. The rebounding is going to be a problem for them. I think that when you go up against an Oklahoma State roster, that could be a big problem for them. But one thing they have going in their favor is that they don't turn the ball over too often, which is key in any basketball game. You got to win a turnover battle if you want a chance to get yourself in a spot where you can win as a 13 seed or win as a 12 or a 14 for that matter. And the fact that Liberty can usually win the turnover battle is going to be very critical for them in order to win this game. If they do not win the turnover battle, they're going to be in big trouble against Oklahoma State because that's a roster that you got to watch out for everyone, not just Cade. And I wouldn't be shocked if Liberty took that extra focus on Cunningham and then everyone else just decides to really pop off too. So it's a really hard four seed for Liberty to come up against. And, you know, the other fours, I mean, Purdue, Virginia, Florida State. I think that Liberty would have had a better chance against pretty much any of those other fours than Oklahoma State.
Tough set of cards that had to be dealt with. Nicholas, I know you mentioned Winthrop and you mentioned Texas Tech, but overall, who do you think will be the Cinderella or the dark horse for this tournament?
I think it's Ohio in the West region. Their match against Virginia, I mean, they've had to go through all kinds of craziness recently as it returns to the coronavirus pandemic. And I just think Ohio is really good. I watched a lot of footage a few days ago on Ohio, and Jason Preston, I think, is the guy that can become a household name by the end of this tournament, and he is phenomenal. But it is not just him. Another name to watch out for is Ben Vanderplas. Really a solid interior guy. I think it was all Mid-American Conference 13, if I'm not mistaken there, and he's got a good three ball as well, so you have to respect his three-point shot, because if you don't, you are going to be in major trouble. And given that Virginia, their defense is not as strong as it has been in previous years. Still a good defensive side, but Virginia just isn't quite as strong. So I really had to go with Ohio in that one. And quite frankly, you look a little bit further to the Creighton-UC Santa Barbara matchup, a lot of people have been pegging UC Santa Barbara. And I honestly had a very tough time with that particular match. Didn't have for Creighton, though, just because of guys like Marcus Sekarowski can be an impact performer. I do have Creighton in the Sweet 16, but I would not be shocked if Ohio got past Creighton either. Because you're a 13, you get past that four, you're putting yourself in a very good position to be able to take the second round game as well. And I would not be shocked if Ohio was the one double-digit seed that makes it to the second weekend. I think they have a lot of very, very good intangibles on their side.
There you have it. Nicholas says Ohio. I have not heard that, but Ohio, I mean, I do trust him because he goes into the details. He goes into the library and check out these books and make sure that everything's intact. Players-wise, Nicholas, which players do you really going to see that needs to shine? Maybe they have locked in the draft, but which players are we going to see? Who are going to be the biggest stars in this tournament?
I mean, I mentioned Kay Cunningham earlier. He is a must-watch attraction. Because I remember his game against Baylor in the Big 12 tournament semifinal, and oh my gosh, it was just unbelievable how he was just involved in pretty much everything. And just a fantastic performance from him. I would not be shocked if he carried that Oklahoma State team into the second weekend, and who knows, maybe an upset of Illinois. Again, I think the Illinois team is just too strong, but I think he could definitely give Illinois a very, very hard time. Elsewhere, I mentioned what Gonzaga has players-wise, just very, very good, with Kispert and Suggs being the two big names that stick out to me. Mentioned for Crane, Zagorowski, he has to perform. If not, I think Crane's in trouble. I think that might be one of the biggest keys to what Creighton does. If Zagorowski performs, they're in a good position. If not, I think they're in big, big trouble there. Mentioned USC earlier on the program with guys like Evan Mobley, who can really put on a very good performance. Isaiah Mobley as well is another key one to watch for USC, in that you're going to have to be really, really careful of them. Also, Taj Eddy for USC in the backcourt, the redshirt senior. I did see some footage of USC and where he was probably the main threat from in the perimeter and beyond. So do keep an eye out on him as well in that matchup against Drake, at least around number one and going forward. It'll probably be more about the Mobleys going forward, but do keep an eye on him going forward. Colorado, McKinley Wright for me is a huge, interesting point here. I think he can carry this team to the second weekend if he has the ability. He is one of the better players in the entire Pac-12, and he's the reason why Colorado is even in this position to begin with. I really love what he has to offer and what he really has. Texas, also being coached under Shaka Smart, I mean, you do get a little bit of question marks under a guy like Shaka Smart, given that he hasn't really been there, done that before. I think a guy like Jericho Sims can really elevate that Texas team. And at the start of the year, Texas pretty much brought everyone back and had really high expectations, and they've pretty much met those expectations as a 3 seed. They've done really well, and that entire team, it's experience for them. They've been there as far as college basketball goes, but now there's expectations, so that will be a key point to watch. I mentioned UConn and James Bonite. He is exceptional. Another one of my friends at the Cronkite School, Peyton Gallagher, loves Bonite. Absolutely loves them, and him in particular. I think it's why a lot of people actually have UConn potentially as that 7 seed Cinderella with a very good pedigree of experience for him. And then just really elsewhere, a Culver for West Virginia, he could really be good. Relilla Chicago, Cameron Cutreg, an All-American. I think he's one of those impact players that with Georgia Tech being without Moses Wright, I think he's going to dominate in that game. I would not be shocked if Leo Chicago relied on him relentlessly to get by Georgia Tech and give Illinois that challenge. Coburn versus Cutrig is going to be a fantastic matchup. Should we get it? Of course, chaos can ensue, but if we get that matchup, I'm going to be very interested in watching that.
There you have it. Those are the highlights, the players that we need to watch out for, the teams that we need to watch out for. And Nicholas is, done a great, fantastic job. The games have tipped off already today. But let's start off with predictions. Virginia Tech versus Florida. Who do you have, Nick?
Yeah, it's in progress right now. Virginia having a decent advantage over Florida. I had Virginia Tech going in to the bracket, winning that. I think that as a 10 seed, they are a pretty solid 10. For my eyes, I think they can definitely get past Florida.
I'm going to, pick a few games, not all of them, but let's pick a few favorite ones. Georgia Tech versus Loyola at 4 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I think that could be a really good game. It's a shame that Georgia Tech is without Moses Wright, because the matchup of Wright and Cutler would have been amazing to watch. But I had Loyola Chicago going in. I think it's an 8 seed. They're probably one of the better 8s we've seen in quite some time, and I think they'll be able to get past Georgia Tech.
Wisconsin, UNC.
This is one of the tougher 8-9 matches I had going in because of just the experience of Wisconsin, which matters in the NCAA tournament, and just how North Carolina has been playing exceptionally well as of late. I had Wisconsin going in. I'm going to stick with that, just the experience that they have. And also going through the Big Ten, I think that could matter. I think the Big Ten could have a big tournament, and I think that could potentially start with a close 8-9 win for Wisconsin.
And finally, the last game at 9:57 p.m., Winthrop versus Villanova.
Yeah, it's for many people, it's been hard to resist taking Winthrop. I have Winthrop. I mean, their one loss was like a 2-point loss in Big South Conference play. If they did not have that loss, who knows where Winthrop would have been seeded, quite frankly. I mean, an undefeated Winthrop team, I don't think gets just a 12. I think they get even better than that, quite frankly. And Villanova, I think, is the perfect 5 for Winthrop. I have the Eagles.
There you have it. This is March Madness. It begins today. Nick is giving me some energy, some emotion, and I'm ready to kick it off. I'm going to put on the TV here at my office's kitchen room, and we'll put it on and watch some games. Nick, anything else before we close out?
I mean, for the fact that we haven't had, you know, this type of day for the NCAA tournament in 2 years, the first four I thought was an incredible prelude with close games pretty much on all four of them, quite frankly, with the 16 seeds battling out for the right to face one seeds, and the way that Wichita State and Drake ended, and also UCLA and Michigan State going to overtime. That was the perfect prelude for what we're going to see today. This is probably going to be the best day of college basketball we've seen since the first round 2 years ago, and when we had all those NCAA tournament games. I am super excited to watch all these games. As a matter of fact, I ended up waking up super early this morning just to get all my academic work out of the way so that I could get focused on the NCAA tournament, since this is my time. I mean, this is March, and I am just so excited to watch the NCAA tournament over the next few weeks.
Wish there was a college class on this, but there isn't. But, hey, I'm glad you got up early, get your homework done, and focus on a big weekend ahead of us. The first tournament without Duke since 1995. How about that, Nick?
Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy. But, I mean, Duke just hasn't really been it this year. And in a down ACC, you got to at least be it. And for Duke, that just wasn't the case this year. And, you know, it's a shame with some of the individual talent they had, but they just could never piece it together in the ACC. I mean, they'd have a decent conference win, and then they would go out and lose to a team like Miami. And they just never were very consistent enough to get to the point where they needed to be. And it was also a shame that their year ended with the coronavirus pandemic getting to that team, because, I mean, obviously you would have loved to see that Duke team go end their run the ACC tournament against a very good team like Florida State. They would have played Florida State if it wasn't for the pandemic. But still, I mean, seeing some of these blue bloods out, Duke, Kentucky as well, I mean, this definitely gives this tournament a brand new feel to those that haven't watched the NCAA tournament, or even just college basketball, I should say, throughout the course of the year.
There you have it. And the tournament will be played in one location, Indianapolis. The final national championship will be played at Lucas Oil Stadium. So we'll see how that will go. Nicholas, what is the best way to reach you online for people to ask you, hey, my bracket messed up? What is the best way to reach you online?
Yeah, you can reach me on Twitter at Hodell Sports. That is H-O-D-E-L-L and then sports. I would love to, you know, hear from everyone, and also on Twitter for the College Basketball Bonanza, at College Bonanza. Of course, the next episode when we get that out will basically be a Sweet 16 preview, as well as going through the coaching carousel and transfer portal, since there is a lot of things going on with the transfer portal as well. I mean, Minnesota's Marcus Carr entered his name into the portal just a little bit ago, which I thought was really astounding news. And some of the other players, with Fats Russell from Rhode Island and Jalen House, may issue entering the portal. It's definitely one of my big points of emphasis in this offseason to really keep a track of all that, since the transfer portal in the past 2 years has been one of the craziest places in college basketball, crazier than traffic jams on the interstate, really. It's just it's crazy, really, just all the players entering and going in and out to different places. It's hard to keep track of. Really, for the casual fan, but I'm going to try my best to really keep a track of all that.
It makes us sports guys talk about it a whole lot more, and you can reach us at The Sportscast, at The Sportscast 1 on Twitter, or at thesportscast.net. Follow us along. A lot going on in college basketball, also NFL free agency. And also, Nicholas is not just a college basketball fan. He's also a Manchester huge fan of Manchester City.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that – it's funny, since I wasn't really into soccer that much until I got my first FIFA video game, which was a FIFA 12. And at the time, I was more of a career mode guy, and I wasn't really thinking about choosing, you know, like, you know, smaller clubs to take up. I was thinking of just, you know, good squads to choose, and Man City happened to be that squad in that year. So I know I picked them, and I think it just kind of stems of that loyalty from really the first FIFA game I actually played. And since then, it's been something that I've really try to keep a track of. I mean, it's tough when college basketball is on pretty much all day and you're really wanting to keep a track on that and cover it as much as I do. But I definitely love to do that. I have a couple of soccer shows on Blaze Radio, the student-run radio station at Arizona State University, Banter O'Clock, and the Offside Show. Those air on Fridays on BlazeRadioOnline.com. So that I am, it's something that I do look forward to doing. You know, something that does give me a little bit of a break from the academic grind and the college basketball a little bit. So something that I enjoy.
That is great. Definitely a good chance. A good year for Man City. Could win the quadruple, four trophies this year. So we'll see how that pans out. But anyways, we'll have Nick back again. We'll probably have a big show around the championship weekend and have him break down what happened, what didn't happen, and things like that, because Nicholas is on the game. Anyways, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been quite the thrill to be able to appear on a show like this.
Let's do it. Let's go March Madness 2021.